Hey guys, welcome to Genesis Metro Quarantine Part 2. as you guys know, there were several cases reported after last Sunday that led to, throughout this week, more people sharing information with us and several of our staff members. Well, all of our staff were tested, but then several of our staff members have tested positive. I'm still waiting on my test results, but I am symptomatic and have had exposure, so I've been told that I should be presumed positive. So it has been, needless to say, a crazy, crazy week. I'm just guessing that my experience is not uncommon to others. And as we're preparing for this Sunday morning, we've had to have three or four plans. We've had to have the building fogged to make sure all the corona is gone. And we're gonna go back to online services for the next couple of weeks and push back our children's ministry start date just to make sure we're as safe as we can be. I think at the end of the day, this is going to become something we're going to just have to live with, like the flu. And we're going to do all that we can to make it the safest, best environment that we possibly can. But what's crazy is that I have people that have texted me and emailed me and said this was going to be the week that they made it back. And I know that many were looking forward to childcare firing back up because they have infants and children that might have a difficult time staying in a service. And so as the pastor, it's just, you want to be able to shepherd your people and you want to be able to help out in every way you possibly can. And so we look forward to serving you guys and doing all that we can, whether it's in quarantine or whether it's in regular services starting back up in some form or fashion. So we started a new series last week called The Rocks Cry Out, and on the stage in the front of Genesis Metro, there are rocks that every family brought that has participated with us along the road to El Dorado, our building campaign. And these rocks are rocks of testimony, similar to that in the book of Joshua. And so we thought we would make a series out of that. And today I wanted to share the passage that the concept of the New Testament comes out of in Luke. And so as we're getting ready to go toward that, I just want to say that I took the time to read through a lot of the different rocks that were up there. And what was interesting is Philippians 4:13 came up a lot, and all the verses tended to be toward very encouraging. And I think that it's interesting that we did this, I don't know how many ever months ago, and now I think these rocks are going to be encouragements to me and to our staff and to our church members that are struggling. I think we have, I think it's like 10 or 14 cases of corona right now, and those families, they need to be lifted up. They need to be encouraged. And this is the time for us to be that church. I know even tonight, one of our church members dropped off Cowboy's chicken. Is that the right, is that the name of it? Cowboy chicken to us. And I love the corn fritters. And then for a little bonus, Snickerdoodle giant cookie. I'm gonna enjoy that later tonight. And so, I think that this is a time for us to be an encouragement. I hope that this message this morning is an encouragement to you. Jesus is getting ready to enter into Jerusalem. The Passion is getting ready to begin. And in Luke chapter 19, it says, when he had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said, go into the village ahead of you. As you enter it, you will find a young donkey tied there on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? you say this, the Lord needs it. So those who were sent left and found it just as he had told them. Isn't that amazing? It's always just like he said it would be. As they were untying the young donkey, its owners said to them, "Why are you untying the donkey?" And they replied, "The Lord needs it." Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their robes on the donkey, they helped Jesus get on it. And as he was going along, they were spreading their robes on the road. And he came, and as he came near, going along, they went spreading their robes. And as he came down the path to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles they had seen. And this is what they said: "The King who comes in the name of the Lord is the Blessed One. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Some of the Pharisees from the crowd told him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." He answered, "I tell you, if they keep silent, even the stones would cry out." I want you to think about this for just a moment for our purposes. Number one, I think that if we're going to follow after Jesus, we have to get uncomfortable. As these disciples were getting ready to go off, can you imagine being sent into a city? And for our purposes, let's throw it out there. What's a car? We're going to say a Honda Accord, okay? That's just a standard little car. And imagine Jesus comes down and he's talking to you and he's like, "You know, I'm getting ready to do my next thing. I'm going to enter Jerusalem. It's kind of a big deal. It's kind of like the crescendo of my ministry. And I want to send you and your buddy to Jerusalem ahead of me. And there's going to be a Honda Accord there. And when you get in the car and you go to start it, if anybody asks you, 'Why are you taking my car?' you just say, 'The Lord needs it.'" I'm going to tell you, having done some of these social experiments and other sermon series that we've done where we ask people if we could stay at their house or ask people to buy our food as a kind gesture. And then obviously we didn't have them buy our food, but whatever. The point is that it's hard. It's hard to ask people for stuff. I think most of us have a terrible time with that. We just to ask them for a favor, to ask them to borrow something, to ask for something when you're in need, because it takes a lot of humility and it takes a lot of willingness to be uncomfortable. And Jesus said, "There's something I need. Are you willing to get uncomfortable so that I can get to it, so that I can progress?" And I think that that's what we have to come to that resolution, is that getting uncomfortable is part of the progress of what God is trying to do, which we'll get to in just a moment. Jesus said, if they ask you, like, "Why are you untying the donkey?" If you ask, "Why are you taking my Honda Accord?" you say, "The Lord needs it." And then they get into the town, and lo and behold, there's the donkey. There it is tied. And as they're untying it, the owner asked them the exact question that Jesus said, "If this happens, you say this. Do what he said, and it will always work." Just do what he said, and it'll always work. Isn't that encouraging? That I think a lot of times we put the pressure on ourselves to try to come up with a plan. I know the last several months, man, has it been tempting to try to wrestle all of these things to the ground and try to figure out exactly what to do. And by and large, I would say that in this time of trial and testing, as I'm sitting here tonight, not feeling the best, I think the Lord is teaching me, and I think maybe teaching all of us, that there's not a plan. It's do what he says, and what he says will work. And I can tell you that that's what we are doing our very best, is just to try to do what he says. Open the doors where he's leading us. Close the doors that seem to be closing. Do what he said and it will work. Number three, our obedience is providing a way for others to experience Jesus. So they go in and they get this donkey. They bring it back to Jesus. And then they help him onto the donkey. And then he rides into town. And then the others, the crowd, if you will, begin to have a worship experience. Without their willingness to be uncomfortable, and without their willingness to do what he said, even though by and large it doesn't make any sense and it is extremely uncomfortable, if we're willing to do that, then our obedience is what allows others to experience Christ, to come into a relationship with Jesus, to grow, to have the tools necessary for their families to be able to hold up under the pressure. Our obedience is what allows other church members. I sent out a text to some of the people that have it, and I created a group text called the Corona Club. And I was just asking two or three of the guys that I know that have it, like how they're doing, what their symptoms are, and we're comparing notes. But more than anything, I think we're just trying to encourage one another. And our staff is trying to reach out. And I know that many of you are reaching out to those that are struggling or those that have it. And just a kind gesture, just prayers. Maybe dropping something off at their house. Maybe picking something up for them. You know, it just goes a long ways that when people see our obedience and our willingness to get uncomfortable, I know for some, just getting out of the house has been uncomfortable. I know the person that brought me food tonight has struggled with being uncomfortable, and yet they're the ones that brought us food tonight. Wow. Talk about stepping outside of your comfort zone. And I think that's what we all have to do. If we want to encourage one another, one of the verses was in, where was that at? 2 Corinthians, I believe it was 3:2-3. The Corinthians, the Apostle Paul said, some people have needed letters of recommendations. And he says, but you are our letter of recommendation, not written with a pen on parchment, but written on hearts, written on our hearts. So the Apostle Paul was saying that your result is our letter of recommendation that was written on our hearts. So it says it was by the Spirit that had worked in them so that it was evident of what God was doing by the interactions that they had with them and then the fruit that they ended up producing. And maybe that's one of the ones I'll preach in the next couple of weeks. But I just want you to know that if you ever wonder, you know, is it worth it? I would say yes, that your obedience, as those guys put Jesus up on that donkey and they rode into town and people essentially are yelling out Hosanna in the highest, like this is worshiping Jesus as God, which was a big step for many of them. That's what their obedience allowed to happen. They progressed Jesus. And so I hope that you would realize that. The last thing that I want to cover, number four, is worthy of worship. It's interesting always that the Pharisees never miss a chance to miss a chance. And so as Jesus is riding on this donkey, which by the way was not the regal way to do that. He was actually doing it in a ultimate humility way that he would have ridden on a much nicer animal if he was emulating the aristocracy or the royalty of the day. But the fact that he rode in a donkey was, he was still at every step of the way humbling himself, but then people began to worship him. And there's a whole side sermon probably in that sometimes we think that we have to look a certain way to have a certain impact. Where I think that the reality is, if we do what God says and we are humble in the midst of it, then God will do far more than we could have ever done if we tried to manipulate the circumstances in order for our image to be lifted up. And so the Pharisees missed it, and they said, "Teacher, rebuke them. Rebuke your disciples. Tell them to stop. Tell them to be quiet. Tell them to quit saying these things." In other words, you're not worthy. You're not worthy of our worship. And Jesus says, "I tell you that even if they were to keep silent, the stones would cry out." In other words, it cannot be contained. And I hope that when you think about your relationship with Jesus, that's the way it could be described. If it's not that way right now, I want to encourage you in just a moment that we can pray together and we can get there. But you should realize that that's how great Jesus is. When you're in the presence of God, it should be something that cannot be contained. It has to spill over into your everyday. It has to spill over into your interactions. It has to spill over into your relationships. It has to spill over into your parenting. It has to spill over into your profession. And here these guys were missing it. They were missing what it was all about. They were missing who Jesus was. And sadly, there's probably more that are missing out on who Jesus is today than there are those who are praising him for who he is. And I hope today that maybe a takeaway from this is maybe at the dinner table, maybe after the message at lunch, you could just discuss with your family and say, like, you know, what does Jesus mean to you? And I'm just guessing that you would end up being very encouraged by that conversation, because what they said on this day was, "The King who comes in the name of the Lord is the Blessed One. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." So they were saying, Jesus is the ultimate. And I think that when you think about what he's done for you and your family, and if ever there was a time we need Jesus, it's right now. I was reminded by all the curveballs this week that I don't know. I don't know what's coming. I just know that I have to do what he says and it'll work. I have to be obedient. I have to be uncomfortable. And I have to always worship him because he's worthy. And I hope today that if you're not there right now, if you're struggling, then I want to pray for you. And I hope that if you'll receive this prayer and you'll open your heart up to God, that you would agree that he is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. And that, man, he is the ultimate. And when we receive Christ in our lives, it's always going to get better. Let me pray for you. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that we would allow him to enter in as he did to Jerusalem that day, that we would allow him to enter in to our hearts, that we would allow him to enter in to our thoughts. God, I pray that we would be willing to get uncomfortable. Lord, I pray for those that are unsettled, that are struggling, that they would be encouraged, that they would find peace inside of you. God, that they would realize that they have a church that will rally around them in their toughest times and their darkest moments. That a simple act of kindness goes so far whenever we're sick, whenever we're sad, whenever we're stressed out, overwhelmed by anxiety, finances are in trouble, jobs are at risk, friendships are unsettled, whatever it may be, God, that we would look to you and that we would put our head down and we would walk in obedience and we would know, God, that at the end of the day, that is what's going to bring you glory and that's what's going to open up opportunities for other people. And that's what it's all about, God. We ask these things in your name. Amen. I hope that today was encouraging for you. We have several announcements that are getting ready to roll all the way, sadly, from camp being canceled. Oh, oh, dagger to the heart. If we can find another way to encourage our students this summer, maybe at the church with a camp-like environment where it's not a travel overnight situation, we don't know. We don't know. But we're always going to be creative, and we're always going to find a way to reach the next generation. And so be looking at the next graphics. If you are connecting with us for the first time here at Genesis Metro, we would love for you to click the Connect tab at our website, or you can text the number that's going to be on the graphic upcoming. They might even put it on the screen, I don't know. But you can text that graphic and our connection team would follow up with you. If you have any prayer requests, if you know anyone that is experiencing the coronavirus that we could be an encouragement to, we're trying to develop a response to that where we can reach out to them with a care package, where we can definitely have them on a specific intentional prayer list. So, gosh, so many things that are coming up, and because we're limited to virtual communication right now, I would just ask that you be paying attention to your emails. If you haven't updated your emails in a long time, or if they have changed, you need to go into what tab is that on our website?
Just email us
info@genesismetro.org, and we'll go into Fellowship One. Make sure your contact information is up to date. Also, for the students, there's going to be a graphic that you can text that code, and it'll give you all of the student ministry updates. My wife is on the other side of this camera, and she is babysitting the quarantine situation. Titus is upstairs in quarantine. I'm in the bedroom, except for this video. Silas is A-okay. Carrie tested negative. Jordan is 50-50. We're still waiting on his test results, but he is not experiencing dramatic symptoms. So, crazy Corona week. Number like 17 million. So, look forward to getting well and getting out of quarantine. I already feel like I'm in a prison. So, please be lifting up our family and our staff as we go through this struggle with you. And so, I hope you have a great rest of the day. I hope this message was encouraging for you. Signing off.